I want to read two passages from God's Word today. One is from the book of Zechariah, which is the last book of the Old Testament but one. So turn to the Old Testament, the end of it, and you'll come to the book of Zechariah. And we're looking at chapter 4 of Zechariah. Just a few verses from that chapter. Verse 1, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep." How often God has to waken us up in order to speak with us, because we're almost in a dream world, not thinking about eternity, not thinking about God, and he has to give us a bit of a shake to get our attention. "And the angel said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof." Then quickly, verse 11, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves?" Now, do you notice how insistent the prophet is here in his seeking of an answer? What does this mean? Who are these two? And then in the next verse, that is verse 12, he repeats, "What are these two?" Please, be persistent in your seeking from the Lord and understanding of his word. Come back to him and pray and say, what does this mean, Lord? He might answer you the first time just to see how earnest you are. If you're not earnest, you'll not bother asking again. But if you're earnest, you'll, as it were, tug on the garments of the Lord and say, "Lord, what does this mean? Who are these?" That's what the prophet does here. Verse 13, "And he answered me." You will get an answer. "And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord." Knowest thou not, the angel says? Our ignorance of things eternal and things spiritual are a source of astonishment to angels. They can't understand, it would appear. Then said he, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Now, we need God's explanation of this passage. Who are these two anointed ones? What does this refer to? And the Bible gives you the answer. You're not to sit down and guess and put your own notions down by way of explanation. So, the second passage is in the book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. We mightn't get too far in our study today, because I want to just read to you what is written here in this chapter 11 of Revelation. Chapter 11 of Revelation. And listen, we're on a journey. You're sitting comfortably in the back of the car. Look out the window. Watch what's going past. Learn from what you see going past. That's what you do when you're reading the Bible. You notice what is in the verses. You watch the things that are just passing your eyes. Take note of them. What do they tell me? How do they inform me as to where I am, where I'm going? That's what we do when we're looking out of the window of a car. Well, it's the same when you're reading Scripture. You take note of the things that are stated in the verses, and they help you understand the time that the writer of these verses is talking about, the place, the events that are happening around. So, let's observe then as we read from verse 1, chapter 11. See if you can pick out anything familiar. "And there was given unto me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, we've just read words very similar to that in Zechariah. And Zechariah was saying, who is this? What does this mean? Well, here. God is explaining it for us all. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. We'll end our reading there. May the Lord bless it to us. Did you pick out anything that we have seen or talked about or looked at in our recent studies? Any little phrase? Any little indication or statement that we have looked at in recent studies? Yes, Pat? Yes, the length of time, 42 months. And then that time is repeated again, did you notice? And is given us in the form of days. It's 42 months in verse 2, and then in verse 3, it's in that days form. The length being 1,260 days. I said to you before, God repeats this period of time, and he puts it in days, he puts it in years, he puts it in months, so that you might understand exactly what it is he's talking about. Make no mistake, this is not a figurative length, it's not a spiritual, a symbolic length, it's an actual period of time, 42 months, 3.5 years. Now, let me just remind you what we're doing here. We're considering the coming of the Lord. And particularly we have been looking recently at the signs which indicate that his coming is drawing near. Because he doesn't want it to happen to us unexpectedly. He wants us to be ready. And so he gives us signs in his word that if we watch out for, we can be ready and waiting for him when he comes. We have looked at signs in the world. Increasing wickedness. We've looked at signs in Israel, the returning of the Jew. We have looked at signs in Jerusalem. The last sign that we looked at regarding Jerusalem was the period of great tribulation, the time of persecution of the Jews in Jerusalem and around Israel and further afield, but with less intensity the further you get away from Israel. I do believe that's the case. Particularly then, this time of trouble for the Jew, it's called by God the time of Jacob's trouble, will be centered upon Jerusalem. And we looked at that in our last study, and we saw that it was going to last 3.5 years. It was going to last the final 3.5 years of this age. It will start 3.5 years from when Christ will come again. So when this persecution breaks out, what a sign that will be. You can almost set your watch, as it were, and say the countdown has begun. 3.5 years, 42 months, 1260 days from now, Christ will return. Christ will return. Of course, the Bible does tell us, you know, that we know not the day or the hour when Christ will return. That is, we don't know today the day or the hour. I couldn't even guess at what year it will be. We're waiting for the Lord to come. We're not trying to guess when he might come. We don't know today when he will come, but there's a time approaching that when we see the signs, we will become more conscious of the short time that's left. There is an occasion, the Lord Jesus says, when you see these signs, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So there's a time when we will, because of what's happening, we will be able to say, he's about to come. And you lift your eyes up to watch for him. Now, you're not going to stand gaping for a month heavenward, or even for a week heavenward. You're pretty sure he is about to come when you begin to look up. So that at the end of this age, such will be the signs that God's people will indeed be able to say the Savior will soon be here. He will be here almost at any moment. But at the moment we can't say that. We just can't say that. Now, we were looking, as I say, at that sign of the great persecution of the Jews in Jerusalem. That'll happen. We'll see it and we'll read about it in the newspapers. We'll hear reports on the radio and television about what's happening and how they're being dealt with cruelly, wickedly. Of course, there will be nobody in the world will have any real sympathy for them except those who love the Lord. They will know that this is wrong and they will also know the significance of it. Now, it's during the last 42 months, the last 3.5 years, when the Jews will be suffering at the hands of the Antichrist, that these two witnesses that we read about here are raised up by God. Two witnesses raised up by God. Isn't it wonderful, boys and girls, and never forget this, that in the middle of the wrath of the devil, God raises up two witnesses. In that day when it seems the devil has everything going his way, God raises up two witnesses. Not 10,000, just two. That the power and the glory might be given unto the Lord and not to a large number of men. Throughout the years, throughout this age, the gospel has always been weak in the sense that the vast majority of people have never sided with the gospel. Here in our country, which is supposed to be, well, basically a Protestant country, at least to a large degree, the number of Christians here in this country, real Christians, is very low. It's very low. It's a very small and weak thing in this world, and it would be crushed if it were not for God. And here in the middle of Antichrist's wrath against the Jew, God raises up two men and sustains them for 42 months. Now this is a sign we'll not miss. We'll hear about these men because as well as understanding the place of their ministry, it's in Jerusalem. Verse 8 tells us that their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Spiritually called Sodom and Egypt because the wickedness of Sodom and Egypt are associated with this city. It has the likeness to Sodom and to Egypt, this city of Jerusalem, because of its wickedness and its defiance of God. But it's in Jerusalem that these men will have their witness. Now, the time of when it is they're going to have their ministry is seen in the verses 2 and 3. there's a reference given to the holy city being tread underfoot 42 months by the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jewish people. And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So the time of their ministry, of their witness, is during those 42 months, when the city is trampled down by the Gentiles. That's the period of the Great Tribulation, when the Jew is trampled under the feet of the Gentiles, particularly under the leader of the Gentiles. You know, one of the titles of Antichrist is the Destroyer of the Gentiles. The Destroyer who comes from the Gentiles. And it all fits in here. When the city has been trampled down and being destroyed by Antichrist and his supporters, that's when God raises up these 2 witnesses. So we have something to look out for. We have something to particularly take note of. I've given you quite a number of things. Well, of course, I'm not giving you, I'm only repeating what the Lord has given to us. The Jew returning to his land. Antichrist and the false prophet beginning to take a very prominent stand in association with Jerusalem. Then there comes the persecution of the Jews in that time of great tribulation. And now, during that very same time, 2 men are raised up. 2 men raised up of God. We'll come back on Thursday to this passage, and I want then to look with you. Please, you look yourself in the meantime. The character of their ministry. What sort of a ministry do they have? The power that there is in their ministry. Well, those are 2 of the things that we're going to look at in the will of the Lord. But may God bless the word that we have set before you today to the honor of his name. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, may the seed of thy word take deep root. Deep, deep root, Lord, in the hearts of each one of the young ones here. And, O God, like a seed, may it begin to grow, and may it begin to fill their hearts and fill their minds and take a place that is in the very center of their being, affecting their whole thinking as the time of the Lord's return draws near. Answer prayer. Grant us your blessing now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.